Matthew 18, starting at verse 21. Peter went up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often must I forgive my brother if he wrongs me? As often as 7 times. Jesus answered, Not 7, I tell you, but 77 times. And so the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who decided to settle his accounts with his servants. When the reckoning began, they brought him a man who owed 10,000 talents, but he had no means of paying. So his master gave orders that he should be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, to meet the debt. At this, the servant threw himself down at his master's feet. Give me time, he said, and I will pay the whole sum. And the servant's master felt so sorry for him that he let him go and cancelled the debt. Now, as this servant went out, he happened to meet a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him by the throat and began to throttle him. Pay what you owe me, he said. His fellow servant fell at his feet and implored him, saying, Give me time and I will pay you. But the other would not agree. On the contrary, he had him thrown into prison until he should pay the debt. His fellow servants were deeply distressed when they saw what had happened, and they went to their master and reported the whole affair to him. The master sent for him. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the debt of yours when you appealed to me. Were you not bound then to have pity on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the torturers till he should pay all his debt. And that is how my heavenly Father will deal with you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus had now finished what he wanted to say, and he left Galilee and came across into the part of Judea, which is on the far side of the Jordan. This parable is one of the most forceful in the Gospels. Not 7, I tell you, but 77 times, Jesus says. The number 7, taken as symbolic value, should mean that there is a definite but not specific point at which forgiveness ceases if the offence continues. However, Jesus takes another symbolic significance of 7, and this multiplication of 7 times 10 plus 7 indicates an indefinite period and so makes the forgiveness perfect and the mercy that reflects that of our divine forgiver. But what is forgiveness? First of all, what it is not. It is not the same as forgetting or excusing. One cannot wipe a serious wrong from one's mind, example rape, murder, vicious continuous scandal, and so on. It is not the same as reconciliation, which requires the forgiven to accept responsibility for the injury. It does not make one more vulnerable or weak. It does not depend on another's admission of wrongful behavior. It is not revengeful. Unforgiveness often brings ill health of mind and body, misery and sadness. What is the point of being unforgiving? Does it do anyone any good? Forgiveness is the sole responsibility of the injured party. Forgiveness is letting go of any feelings of resentment. It is for one's own well-being. It is healing. Forgiveness brings a generous and warm heart, peace, joy, and tranquility of mind. The alternative is bitterness, resentment, and devaluation of oneself. The parable of the king and the unforgiving court official, who must have been in a position of great authority to accumulate such a massive debt, reinforces the duty of forgiveness by showing us another view that describes the forgiveness granted between man and man as a condition of forgiveness granted by God to man. The punishment of the official meant that the large debt would never have been paid off, as there were no means by which he could do so. Not only is he punished, but also his family. The parable is not an allegory, as the conduct of the king is not a model by which we should learn God's providence. It does, however, demonstrate that the forgiveness of God knows no limit. Man's forgiveness must reflect that of God. If man does not forgive, then he cannot expect forgiveness. The parable highlights the principle of showing mercy, and although forgiveness is not an end in itself, it does show us how to love. And to love is to have the mind of Christ. What joy that brings, not only to us, but also to those to whom we show a reflection of his mercy. Working in a hospice for some years, one of my jobs was to sit with the dying so that nobody died alone. In some cases, there had been enmity between members of families for years. But when the end came, many desired to make peace before they died, so they sought and gave forgiveness. It was a revelation to see the difference in the tranquility and acceptance of death when the dying had made their peace with everyone. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. How often have we said this and meant it? If this is too difficult for us, it is because it requires us to act as God does, that is, with his power, divinely. The first step we take is to humbly ask for our own forgiveness of God. Christ gives us the forgiveness and redemption of the Father by the crucifixion, the ultimate in mercy and love, when he gives himself unstintingly, readily. Is it any wonder, then, that we find it difficult, as we too must be crucified with him? We must give ourselves entirely to him by the way of the cross, if we are to follow him. We have already been forgiven by the sacrament of reconciliation, so we follow this by asking for the grace to forgive those who have harmed us. When we acknowledge ourselves to be sinners, and we acknowledge that we are reluctant to follow Christ on this particular journey, then we are on the way to forgiving others as we have been forgiven. This brings joy to our hearts and reminds us of God's two commandments, love God and love thy neighbor, through whom we love God. Forgiveness of those who harm us brings us the mercy of the one who loves us unconditionally. In this way, we reflect the joy of Christ as he fulfilled his Father's will and brought the good news to all. We can only do this with God's grace, and with that we can forgive 77 times. And then Jesus said as he left for Judea, "And that is how my heavenly Father will deal with you unless you each forgive your brother from your heart." Today is the feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who gave up his life for a young father in Auschwitz concentration camp. He is just a wonderful example of following our Lord Jesus in giving his life for others. Mercy unlimited.